Good evening. Predestination. Predetermined outcome of the souls on this earth. As we heard this morning concerning the Calvinist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Reformed Church, concerning God, who is in control and who decides who goes to heaven and who goes to hell or to be condemned. But we understand, because God has shown us through the scriptures, that he has predetermined some things. He has predestined some things. And we're going to look at some of those things today. In First Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 3 through 6. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. That should be our testimony that we should give concerning salvation. But those who believe in the predestination doctrine believes that there is only a selective group of people that will be saved. But here we see in verse 4 of that chapter the desires of God. He did not say, I desire a certain group of people to be saved. He said, through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, who desires all men to be saved. And to do what? In order for you to be saved, you must come to the knowledge of the truth. But we have many deceivers of the world today that will tell you that if you have not been selected by God, it's no matter what you do, you can't be saved. See, we live in a world of confusion. This place that we live in, the material realm, will sometimes interfere with the knowledge of God and have us to doubt sometime. But if you are a disciple of God, nothing's going to deter you, because you're going to hold on firm to what you read. You see, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, Peter tells the hearers, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Put your name right there, by you. The Lord is patient toward Byron. You see? So he is patient, not wishing that any should perish. That's not the thought with the predestinarian view. Their view is that a selective few is chosen and the rest will perish. But you see, that's not the thought with the word of God, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, And the heavens will pass away with the roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? You see, God does not want any man to be lost. God does not want anyone to be destroyed in judgment. Therefore, he is patient with mankind, giving everyone an opportunity to reach repentance. That's what God does. He says, everyone, not a selective group. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, not a selective group of people. We're talking about the entire human race here. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for some people. Isn't that what the scripture say? Scripture says for some people. Well, that's how some people read the scripture. But it says for all people. That's why it's important for us to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to meditate on the Bible, the things that we learn, to eat the Bible, the words. You know, a cow has four compartments to his stomach, whether it be male or female. Four compartments. So it has to go through a digestive system to digest properly. You see, and it could take up from a day to 3 days to digest. Understand that. Understand the fact that we have mind, emotion, will, and consciousness. And it could take up maybe a week to learn three scriptures, to meditate on them, and to learn them. So it's going to take some time for you to learn the Word of God. That's why it's important for you to study the Word of God. Verse 12, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who is zealous for good works. This is not a blind faith that we have here. This is a learning process. Verse 12 says, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. This is what our faith does for us. So when you have those individuals out there that's teaching otherwise, it's because they're using the people for financial reasons. They want to live their life now, and they'll deal with the consequences later. Because really, they don't believe that God exists. But you have all these millions of people who are believing this stuff that they are teaching and are on their way to be eternally separated from the presence of the Lord. You see, God in Zechariah chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, he says that he does not want the wicked to be destroyed. You see, God does not want the wicked to be destroyed. So he says And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? They acknowledge their sins. How then can we live? They must be in a state of deadness. Right? So Ezekiel says, the Lord says, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And then there are those who will say, well, he's just talking to the Jews right there. No, I think you better read Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And then we look at verse 11, chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. It is not only talking about the Jews. He is talking about everyone. So we see in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, how that Jesus paid the price for all people. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for some people. You know, because what the Presbyterians teach and the Baptists, you know, they teach that only a certain few people are going to be saved no matter what. But that's not what the scriptures say. You're not going to know this unless you read. Unless you read the Bible, you're not going to know. So I will say this today. I am so thankful that the Lord revealed his truth to me while I was in prison. You see, I wasn't a free man when I learned the truth. I was not a free man. So, Jesus tasted death for everyone. For those who are not even born yet. He tasted death for humanity. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not just, oh, a selected few of people. We have a great task ahead of us. Each one of us must be a light that will guide people to God, that people may see God in you. If an individual don't see God in you, then he see the devil. He see the world. And the world is under the sway of the devil. You see? So we must understand that we need to read. We need to study. We need to understand what God is telling us through the scriptures in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, or the righteous. So, this is for those who are in Christ who sins, and those who are yet still in their sins. You see that? He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we understand that when we hear an individual talking about, oh, only a, no matter how, what I do, I can't be saved. We know that that person is lost. And it is our job to shine light with the word of God. This is light. This is what opens up
doors, new avenues, new horizons. The Word of God does that. When we were lost, where were we lost at? We were lost in our souls. We were lost in the world. You see? So God's light, when it came to us, it shined within us and it awakened our spirit, and we believed what we heard and we repented of our sins and we were baptized for the remission of our sins. That's what the Word of God teaches. But if you don't sit down and read the Word of God, how are you going to know what the will of God is for you? How will you know what God wants for you? We're not just only talking about those ones who say it's only a selective few people that will be saved. What about you that are saved? What are you doing to keep your seat where He has seated you in the heavenly realms? What are you doing to keep that position? Some of us are asleep and don't even care about where we're sitting with the way that we live our lives. You better start caring, because I do. Whoever says, "I know him," verse 4, "but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know him, that we are in him." Not a selective few, but we are in him. You see? Verse 6 says, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." How did he walk? He showed compassion. He displayed love. He displayed forgiveness. Right? Those are the qualities that he displayed. He was concerned about the well-being of the people. Do you care about the people that surround you? Rather it be at home, rather it be out in public, at the shopping center, rather it be at work. You know, I had an individual that was walking around the job, and I heard other guys talking, saying, "What's wrong with that guy? He must be drunk or something." I said, "These guys, man, why don't they go and help the guy?" So I got down off my ladder and I went over and, "Hey, what's going on? Are you okay?" "I'm lost. I don't know where I am." I'm like, "Oh, wow." And just so happened, one of the superintendents came up and, you know, took him. But it's just the situation that we are put in as Christians. We must understand that God is using us. We are vessels of the Lord. It is God's Spirit that dwells in us that moves us to do this or to do that. We must listen to what God is telling us. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, you know, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. This is a universal invitation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, man has a choice. It's what we talked about this morning. You have a choice to come. The Spirit and the bride is one. John 6:63, Jesus told him, "It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The Spirit is life. We are the bride. We are the body of Christ. Let me explain something to you here. Thirstiness represents death. Water represents life. Water can also represent death in the scriptures, because we see the death waters of Noah. Water can also represent death, and water can also represent life. You see, in this instance, it's life. So the invitation is to the whole entire world, not just to a selective group of people, right? So if you go without water for a week, I don't know how long it will take you to die. But I know that when I go a day without, it's only on the weekends, I don't really drink much water. Because I'm at home, so I don't feel I have to drink a lot of water. But when I'm at work, I may drink about 40, 60 ounces of water. That's a difference. But if you go a week without water or food or any type of nutrients or anything like that, you could very well die. Because you will thirst to death. And if you don't drink enough water, right now it could cause problems eternally. Right? So we need water. We need life. We need the life of Christ in us. Right? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, is another invitation. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Another invitation for the whole entire world. There's no chosen people here. We become predestined, or the predestinated ones. When do we become the predestinated ones? When we are baptized into Christ. That's when we become the predestinated ones. But that's not what the world teach. The world does not teach that. You see? So, again, a universal call to repentance for all people. Right? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 through 20, Peter tells the hearers that, hey, you are not redeemed with things such as silver or gold. Right? But with what? But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see? So, where am I at? 1 Peter 1 and 18. Yeah. But with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last days for the sake of you. Jesus was known before the foundation of the world. He is one that was preordained for this salvation. And he is the only one that was preordained before the foundation of the world. In Revelations 13 and 8, and all who dwell on earth will worship it, the beast, the one that speak blasphemous words against heaven, right? And all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of the Lamb who was slain. So, again, it was determined in before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would come to be a sacrifice. In St. John chapter 1 and verse 29, we understand that John said, hey, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. That's everyone. That's just not a selective group of people. And then in Ephesians, we're going to be closing up here.
And then in Ephesians, what we are pointing out here is the fact that God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So when we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 13, even as he chose us in him when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us. There's that word right there that the whole world, the majority of the world, is being fooled. Because they take that one word out of context and they say, see, right there, there's only going to be a few people that's going to be saved. Right? He predestined us for adoptionship as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. It's all because of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for his fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to be in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is what all of us have here. So what we're looking at here is the emphasis of this context is not on individuals when we look at this, or who will be saved, but upon Christ, through whom redemption is made possible. You see, when you look at these verses, you see in him, for him, with him. And verse 3, we see that it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in him with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. These are the things that were predestinated, predetermined in Christ for us to have. These are the only things concerning predestination that God had preordained, is all the blessings which are in Christ. You see, but the world doesn't teach that. And in closing, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. And we know, you see, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. See, we are called according to his purpose. That's what the gospel does. It calls us. When we hear our phone ring, we pick it up. Hello? Yeah. We talk. The way that God calls us is through his word. So are you going to pick up his book? We got a job to do. It's time to start teaching people. You have to spend more time studying, because we're going to be held accountable for the souls that we come in contact with, and we don't do nothing about it, and we see them lost in the world. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also did what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, you see. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. If you are here today, I see all, no visitors. I just see all my brothers and sisters in Christ.
I hope that we can take this lesson and learn from it and understand our position in Christ. Enjoy it, live it, share it, but most of all, believe it, and don't lose sight of the goal at hand. So if you have a request that you need, do you need prayer? We will pray for you. If there's nothing else, we'll stand and sing the song that was selected in our hearing.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there.